evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Hawk coming to you live. And I will tell you, it does not seem to abate, does it not? I mean, it really does not. The drumbeat of the repression that the Democrats, the demonic commie rats, the demon commie rats, and that's what is going on there. I used to know Democrats who were different in the old days. I do not know any basically now. There may be some of you who still consider yourself to be that. I understand that, but that is not what it is or was. I will, I'll put it to you this way, is that, Harry Truman had this to say. Once a government is committed, Harry Truman was a Democrat. He was a Blue Dog Democrat from, Independence, Missouri, and, he was part of the machine, but he also, was pretty straight shooter, and, Harry, took over and, won the war at the end. So there you go. Once a government is committed to the principle of silencing the voice of opposition, it has only one way to go, and that is down the path of increasingly repressive measures until it becomes a source of terror to all its citizens and creates a country where everyone lives in fear. Now, Harry Truman, let me tell you, did not want everybody to go down the communist rat hole, okay? As a matter of fact, he was anti-communist, although there were people in the party left over, obviously, from Roosevelt, who were straight-out socialist, communist, whatever you want to say. But I will say this to you, and I'm going to tell you what Lord Jesus has to say. And he says, and ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair on your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. So what I want you to understand is you got to stand up on the hind legs. You got to put on the full armor of God, and then you got to put on whatever else you got, the body armor, the Kevlar helmet, the shin guards, you know, whatever it is you might have. The greaves, the greave type slash cut Kevlar gloves, the gas mask at the ready, the Tyvek F suit at the ready, whatever it is they're going to throw at you. And I'm going to tell you, you say, well, Hawk, I don't need a gas mask. Well, suppose you get out there and you got Antifa is between you and your family and you're trying to walk down the street or drive your car where they're directing you to a parking lot and you've got to submit to their checkpoint. Well, let me tell you, you say, no, I ain't going to do that. Then what do? They throw one of them balloons filled with crap and pee and pus and HIV blood and cement and poison or whatever else they got in it. You don't think you're going to need a good gas mask with a military grade filter? Okay, that will filter out nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons, and that you should have that with you, and that for the children or the youth, if you got smaller kids but not babies, there are youth masks, Israeli youth masks that you can order, okay, and get. You can also get positive pressure type masks and suits for young children and babies. They say, well, I never heard of that. Well, they were developed during the First World War in Great Britain, in England. And they've been improved since. But a baby, they don't have enough respiration to use a mask. So you have to do positive pressure to keep out the stuff. Even if you've got a baby in swaddling clothes, you're holding a baby in a blanket. You can put them up underneath this thing. Called a baby ranger is what they used to call them. Now, I don't know where you get all this, but you can get Tyvek app and all that stuff. And I don't get anything from it or anything. And I just know that I, when I go to see it, approvedgasmask.com, they have full suits. They have everything. Now, I'm going to talk about tonight is that we had somebody today, I believe, in the Tampa area. A woman gets arrested. I think that was an MK Ultra type. She apparently is reading a lot of Ted Kaczynski's books, The Unabomber and all of that. But she also seems to be somebody who's got a lot of literature about mass destruction. So that tells me, and then she owned about 30 or 40 knives. This knife bit, all of this knife bit is tied in, it seems like, with the Islamic stabbing craze, okay, and all of that kind of stuff. And anyway, they caught her. So let me be at the where, and I'll give this warning. If you go to a church or a synagogue or a shul or a cathedral, whatever it is you're attending your service every week, or if you go periodically, whatever, I'm telling you, if you are in the congregation, if you can pack and our concealed carry is okay in your state and it's, right to do and all of that, then by all means do so. Don't mind at all. So they may have more than that, but mostly you find churches that are undefended, okay? I can think of one right off the top of my head, maybe in somewhere in suburban Cincinnati, maybe in the Mason, Ohio area. And these people have a nice big church and a nice, parochial school attached, Catholic school attached, and they invited all of the Muslims to come and to share bread with them and, the new Chrislam kind of an idea. And they're fools because what they didn't understand is that the head dude was standing at the back of the church and he had a camera, one of those eyelet cameras in some kind of a medallion or whatever he had hanging down. And that when everybody left the parking lot, he had some people there that also probably had miniature pinhole cameras or little small lipstick type cameras or used their phone. And they were getting the license plates, the model of the car and the people in the car of everybody who left the parking lot and were out there doing the whole nine yards. It's the dumbest thing in the world. I'm going to tell you what, if you got any cops or sheriff's deputies or good firemen or whatever in your church, you need to tell them and alert them that they need to be wary of what's going on. And if you got a deacon or an usher or whatever, let them stay on guard with a concealed carry weapon at the front door, at the back door, at the side doors, and at the exits in the church. Be sure and station somebody there, a policeman, a fireman, a good hunter, the football coach, whatever it is, and make sure they're packing heat. Because I'm going to tell you that I'm going to think you're going to see a time when what Jesus says is going to be the case, and it's already started. I saw something on a website or wherever, and it said Christianity is no longer compatible with the dignity of a human being, okay? How so far from the truth? And Jesus said, verse 17, Luke 21, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, okay? Starting to happen. So I will tell you this. Preparation is a key, but I'm going to tell you. The first preparation and key is that there's power in the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood of Jesus. And I will say this to you. That you can count on, but if you have not gotten right with him, then your first preparation should be to get on your knees, repent of your sins to Lord Jesus, and then ask him to come into your heart to be your Savior. That's the best deal in town. You'll have everlasting life with them in heaven. If you should lose your body in this lifetime, if you should be shot or killed or hacked by an Antifa horde or whatever it might be, then you can look forward to seeing him in heaven. And oh, what a wonderful thing to know that. And to also know the other gifts. Like when he tells you about the faith of a mustard seed and having the faith and all of that, he says that if you tell the mountain to move, the mountain moves. That's the kind of faith you need to develop. That is the kind of strength. Because in your patience possess ye your souls. Well, don't give them up. Fight tooth and nail for them. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. That's Psalm 144.1. Okay. 144.1. Very interesting, isn't it?
Or should we just be milquetoast and when they come at us with guns, we're just going to worship and we'll lay our heads down on the ground and then they'll pick us up and put us on the guillotines.
Oh, no! I am telling you to cheat the guillotine. Cheat that guillotine that may be positioned for you in the near future. Cheat that, Sultan's sword. Cheat that guillotine, all right? If you saw on Steve Quayle's site yesterday, you saw that Celeste at Shepherd's Heart wrote an interesting article because she had in there the armies, I believe, doctrines and stuff for use of the guillotine in the time of mass civil disobedience. But I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus also told you, you got from him, he gave you power and dominion over serpents and scorpions. You see a serpent or a scorpion out there, you better stomp on it. You got a scorpion, stomp on it with your old cowboy boot. I remember the first time I saw that was back in Texas when I was a kid, about 1959. And an old roughneck in a roustabout that was my daddy's army buddy, who was about 6'6", and his name was Odie. And we was in Old San Antone. And we was going out to one of them joke and pukes, in the middle, where you go out and get you a steak or a chili or whatever. And my daddy and them wanted to have a beer. And in that parking lot, I can still remember the old blue light from some kind of a neon sign, blue or green or whatever it was. And I said, well, what's that? He said, that's a scorpion, son. And he had about a size 14 cowboy boot, and he just stomped on that sucker and ground his heel in and crunched that scorpion. He said, don't touch them. They ain't good for you. Well, anyway, serpents and scorpions, you see one, you know what to do with them. And the other thing I always tell you about, and people don't get this, because people ask me about it at the time. And I tell them, if you need clarity, then ask Lord Jesus to give you clarity of mind as to what his meaning is in his words. And pray about that and wait for the answer. Because a whole lot of people don't wait for the answer on prayer. But you also got to be specific at times. There is the Lord's Prayer, which is extremely valuable. Because that's, Jesus did tell you to use that. But there are prayers, and this is what he's telling you. Chapter 14 of John. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the words I speak unto you? I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Starting at verse 10. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you. You hear me out there? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and this is Jesus speaking in the red letters, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And the commandment is, thou shalt not murder. Okay? In a war or a defense of your family, there is not such a thing as that. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even in the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, and yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You want to see Lord Jesus? He just told you. He just told you how to do that. John 14. That was verse 21 I read there. But just read chapter 14 of John. And then while you're at it, read a lot more of that Bible too. And pay a lot of attention to the Lord Jesus' red letters. Those editions. I like to see that because I work for him. I am designed and was recruited by the Archangel Michael to strike blows against the enemies, the Lord Jesus, and a secondary then to warn the remnant about what is to come and how to prepare for it. And let me talk to you about firearms just for a second. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's still a drumbeat to take yours away. Now, let's just go to a practical source here somewhere. And I like to think about the people. I know there's a lot of different people that listen, some very wealthy, some in the middle, some, you know, working man, working woman, some people just, you know, older, on a pension or on the Social Security, which I totally understand, who don't have a lot of money, or young people coming up who don't. But let me tell you about some, I think, good values here. This is in the current circular for Bass Pro and Cabela's, basically, and they have a real good value. It's Marlin Model 60, 22 long rifle, 19-inch barrel, 14-round magazine, and it has the hardwood stock. That's $169.97. $169 bucks. You can also get the synthetic stock if you wish. 14 rounds, 22 long rifle, 19-inch barrel for only $159.97. $160. That's for a brand new one. And then if you go ahead and get yourself a few bricks of the 22 long rifles, ammunition, and you put them back, have 1,000 rounds minimum, and be ready to go. And if you get good with the 22, you can do real good. Now, there is also, for the people out there who would like to have something for a younger boy or girl, you know, somebody who's 10, 11 years old, a youth kind of a piece, there is a good, shotgun here. I believe it's a Remington. Let's see, what is it? Remington Model 870 Express Youth Model. This would not be bad for anybody, actually. $249.97, brand new. Model 870 Express Youth Model in the 20 gauge. In the 20 gauge pump. And if you want the Model 870 Express Home Defense 12 gauge, 18 and a half inch barrel, 7 shots, you got 6 in the mag and 1 in the pipe, $324.97. Now, if you got real good with that, even if you had the 20 gauge, and then you had the 22 rifle, and then if we went over here to the next page or so, and let's see what we got for a handgun here. Well, here's a pretty darn good one. Taurus semi-automatic pistol, 9mm, 12 rounds, 12-round Taurus, G2C, 9mm, 12-round, 3.2-inch barrel, $219.97. Or here's Smith & Wesson, military and police shield, semi-automatic, 9mm, 7-round, or 40mm, or 40 cal Smith & Wesson, 6-round, 3.1-inch barrel, with all the discounts and all the appropriate gift cards and all the stuff they've got for you here, $239.97 for a Smith & Wesson M&P shield in 9mm or 40 Smith & Wesson. You want a small little semi-auto pistol? Here's a Ruger LCP. 380 ACP automatic Colt pistol, a 380 caliber, .380, 6 rounds, little .2.75-inch barrel, $199.97. So you got a 22 long rifle, say you get the wooden stock, or let's say you got the synthetic stock, $159.97. Here's a Ruger 380 semi-auto pistol, $199, or the Taurus. That Taurus is a pretty good value, 12 rounds, 9mm, $219.97. And then you can pick up that youth shotgun in the 20 gauge that I told you, what was it, $249? And if you can't do that, $249.97, if you cannot do that, and put back 1,000 rounds of ammo for each one, then get whatever amount of rounds of ammo you can get. If you cannot afford to do any of those, and if you can only get one of the guns, then get a 12-gauge pump or get the 20-gauge pump. But whatever it is, a shotgun is your very best home defender. The 22 long rifle would not be too far behind either. Because if you can shoot accurately and you put one of them between the eyes, I don't care who they are. Bye-bye. You know, bingo, bango, bongo. two to the head, you know? Got body armor, then go for the leg, go for the femoral artery. It will work. You don't have the big battle rifle or something like that or the high firepower, but if you're accurate, you can defend your family and yourself against all comers with that. And I'm going to tell you what, you put enough fire to those down, Ryan, and you got two or three of them, and by George, you got a little band of the hand. You had two 22 long rifles and, a youth 20 gauge. And you had that, Taurus pistol there with somebody else. Or maybe you got two shotguns, two 22 long rifles. And a couple people got pistols, and I'm going to tell you what. You see a wedge of them coming at you, you just aim for the ones in the front and drop them. If you've never seen the movie Zulu, where the famous movies were in Africa, in South Africa, Shaka Zulu and his troops were coming and had already killed a large number of the British column. And then they were some engineering company and supply company, and they had a lot of Welsh guys who were great singers. Okay. Singing the band, singing the choir, and that kind of stuff. But if you've never seen that movie, then I suggest you get that movie, because they defended a position, a small, you know, house and, you know, grain storage sheds and a hospital, that kind of a thing. It had been the home of a reverend who goes goofy in the movie, but his daughter sure stands up. And with a handful of people and a couple smart officers, they held off the Zulu for quite some time, charge after charge after charge, and all kind of feints and all kind of things. And I'm talking about getting the spirit of the fight. I'm talking about standing up for the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about standing for your family and for the Bill of Rights, the Constitution of America, and applying very, very straightforwardly the Declaration of Independence. Because you did not go and get born into this country to then grow up under, you know, King George Schiff or Sultan Pelosi or Commissar Beto or Commissar Sleepy Uncle Joe Biden, okay? And they all want to take your guns because they're demon commie rats. And I don't care what they're going to throw at us. I don't care. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And how we burned in the camps later. Thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest or to come to get your guns, people, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family. Or if during periods of mass arrests, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there and just let me stop there. For all of those who say, well, we got enough goods, they never going to come for us. I'm going to tell you what, if the Soviets could come and there were guns in Russia in those days, and swords. If they can come and arrest 250,000 people in one night, then it can be done here with sonic weapons, laser cannons, high power machine guns, helicopter gunships, all of that. Or periods during mass arrest, as for example, in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door and every step of the staircase, but had understood they had nothing left to lose and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of a half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was to hand. The organs would very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Joe Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt if we didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. Alexander I. Solzhenitsyn. Now, all of these people, they're recruiting. And coincidentally, we got another strike. We got Massachusetts Teamsters on strike against a garbage company out east, which is transferred over into the Port of Seattle. Now, Bill Gates allegedly owns that garbage facility and is the garbage king of Seattle and that area, and he don't like to pay that much, but I will tell you what, it's real interesting to see these strikes start to pop up right on cue. And this is right out of leftist revoluciones in Central America, you know, America Central, South America, okay? South America. But see, the Red Chinese, you remember when old W. Bush went down there, he's going to make the big trade deals, and we were going to have the Organization of American States, or move the capital to Atlanta and all that kind of bit. And we were going to do trade deals in the pod. W. Bush was going to do all these deals down there. Well, the week before he goes, the Red Chinese signed up 47 deals down there and sewed up all of the stuff. And then W. Bush goes to Chile. He goes with his Secret Service bodyguard, one of them, and they're in casual clothes. And he's going to this auditorium, and when he gets to the auditorium, they let him in, and then they close the door on his Secret Service agent. I don't know if you ever saw that on TV. And W. Bush at least had enough strength and wherewithal to fight back on him, and he opened and jerked that door open and grabbed the arm of his Secret Service agent and drug him in there with him. But he almost lost himself in that moment. And I will say this. President Trump has the right idea. Get on the offensive. And all the rhino, chicken, you know what's, chicken livers, let's just call it. And I'll tell you what. Some of my relatives, a long time ago, back in the days of Lincoln and all of that, in Illinois, helped form the Republican Party out of the Whigs. And if you're an African-American out there, if you're an Hispanic out there, if you're, a left-handed Lithuanian, I don't care. Chinese, Native American, I don't care. Let me ask you this question. Which president do you think your children, after you've struggled and worked hard to put them into college or trade school or wherever you've sent them, which president do you think is going to be more likely to have an economic climate and a job market to where they're going to be able to get a decent job with a good pay and with medical benefits for their families? Who do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be Trump or going to be Slow Sleepy Joe? Or is it going to be Elizabeth Warren or any of the others who are going to take away the oil and gas business and tax everybody in the elite, tax everybody over X number of million. But really what they don't tell you is, Bernie did tell you, Bernie told you the truth. Yeah, we're going to tax everybody more. They're talking about, and I told this to somebody the other day. I said, did you know what they're proposing with Elizabeth Warren and all of her? They're proposing up to like 70% taxes. Ooh, I don't like that. Well, do you think Trump hates you? Well, yeah, he hates me because I'm black. I said, well, did you know that you have the lowest unemployment of African Americans in the history of this country? No, I didn't know that. I said, then you need to start reading more and you need to start doing it. People are not paying attention. It's just like Solzhenitsyn said. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to keep old Hawk? You want to keep old Hawk on the air? Then you better, if you can, help me out. And I can use any assistance. Anything is most welcome and needed. Federal Reserve note, metals, easiest. Check or money order, very good, no problem. Send it to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And may the Lord Jesus return it to you 10,000-fold, and may it protect your home and your family against all evil. I just got something here I got from a deep background source. Let me just read over this real quick, because it says, urgent request, please run data on massive UN troops in Heartland. Let's see here. Let's see. In the Heartland, USA, see if data shows numbers and locations, also when they go operational. There are new United Nations troops moving in by rail to Indiana and Tennessee and in surrounding states. Allegedly a sudden move during the night and daytime, the last day or so. I'm just kind of trying to read it quick. Some of the trains might be arriving now. Now, I know in Indiana, they have the training facility there for a lot of United Nations people. Also in Fort Drum, New York, up in there, they're training like other nations' paramilitaries. In other words, HIT teams, small unit groups, internal security troops, crack squads, in other words. And there's a possibility that something is planned, and there may be as many. We don't know. See if you're in Indiana or Tennessee, or if you're on the Illinois side or the Ohio side or the Kentuck side. See if you can see any movement towards that direction of those places. There might be as many as, some people say, as high as 750,000 troops. Destination would be to FEMA camps and isolated sections of military bases. Also, check and see if you're seeing a lot of trains that have a lot of food on them. We got a lot of people on the old Moccasin Telegraph, I think, that listen to Old Hawk from time to time. And the old Moccasin Telegraph is like what you see in the railroad yards and that kind of stuff, where the information tends to even jump ahead of the train. Well, let's see if we're seeing any DOD X trains, to where the door is open. It ain't the Wild Bunch, or it ain't the LaFours and his men chasing Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. it's going to be UN Joe, and he ain't from Kokomo, you know. So that is a deep background possibility right now. Also hearing about a large number of troops being in Mexico, and those are Chinese. Only you would not see them in formation necessarily. You would see them living in apartment buildings and in specified housing developments and stuff, subdivisions, just like I told you about years ago when Brother Quayle had the tip from the truckers taking white UN trucks filled with groceries from the U.S. side down deep into Mexico in a brand new subdivision where there were Chinese living there, okay? Well, those numbers of those quote-unquote port workers or restaurateurs or truck drivers or warehouse workers, i.e. Red Chinese troops, those may be over a million now in Mexico, from what we're starting to hear. I also would say this. I saw a confirmed, and I did confirm the location where it had been seen, but I'm not going to talk about that right yet. Let's just say it's in the middle of the country and not where I'm at. But I saw a picture of a brand new guillotine, American-made guillotine, that would fit right in with that U.S. Army thing that Celeste was talking about, as Steve Quayle posted yesterday, stevequayle.com, about the guillotines and the Army policy and how to use them and all of that. Because they're up front and personal, and they tend to scare people. Just like they did in the French Revolution, you see. Well, let me say this. You better cheat this guillotine, and you better get ready to go. But I did get a confirmed sighting, and this guillotine was not out like somewhere in the wilderness or anything. It was inside of what I'll describe as like a prison type facility, a federal prison facility or a federal warehouse or FEMA facility or whatever it might be. But it has sort of the look of a more modern, newer type of a facility that has a dock, you know, and then also is close to train tracks. And if anybody is up in the Indianapolis area, go out southeast there to Beech Grove. And I remember going years ago and confirming suspicions that were had then. And it has become a train renovation for Amtrak kind of a deal. But there still is that old building that has a lot of big gas lines going into it. And there still used to be when I went up there and took a look and went around the perimeter fence where the barbed wire was pointing, you know, the razor wire was on top of the chain link. And it was designed to keep people from inside from getting out. And they had it back then where you could move the train car into this building, ostensibly to renovate it and repair it and probably change the truck and wheels and all the whole bit. But there also back then, when I still went, I don't know if it's still there now, there was one of the largest cold storage plants, cold food, where you stored cold food in that city at the time that had a nice windsock up above. So you could land something there. And I also recalling back in those days from the 90s, the Tacomars that used to be on the back of signs in all the different states, and they were red, blue, brown, you know, all different kind of colors. And then once we got turned on to those by Mark from Michigan and other people, I even have seen a black one, which was a death camp. And that's not far from where I live, unfortunately. but it had a black sticker. But now what they've done is they've changed them. Most stickers are white, but the stickers are arranged in such a way as to point in a direction. And where you invariably go is to hospitals or gymnasiums or stadiums. And the reason they were there is for foreign troops who didn't read much English, they could direct and see where they're supposed to go to take rounded up people. Now, I would remind you that I had deep background source of somebody who overheard a Canadian general, and this was back in 2004, 2005, I forget which year. It was my first year or so that I was on. And this person overheard a Canadian general said, "You stupid Americans, when the martial law comes, we're going to come to your house. We're going to take you out of your house, take your wife, your children, and we'll do whatever we want to do with them. If you resist, there's bang, bang, two in the head, and we're going to throw them up on the trucks and take them where we want to take them. And then we're going to take your house. We're going to listen to your stereo. We're going to eat your food, and we're going to put our troops in there and live there. And then we're going to get your neighbor next door and go on down the road." And that was from a Canadian general. So we've had a large number of troops present. You'll see them. I remember I told you about who probably burnt the forest down there in Tennessee, up there by Gatlinburg, when it burnt. That area in there is filled with Russian Spetsnaz. All kind of Russians in the woodwork up in there. And they're working down in the restaurants and bars, too. Gatlinburg, mid-July, amidst the mud, the blood, and the beer, you know? Old Johnny Cash song, Boy Named Sue. But that area, and then up around the Great Lakes, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, up in that area, along those lakes up in there. Remember what I used to tell you, and this would be back 2005, and after that is some too, where we were seeing all the old-time motels and lodges, you know, the old, like, Big Chief Motor Inn, or the Moccasin Motor Inn, or the, you know, all kind of Wisconsin and Michigan kind of stuff. The, you know, the Tulip Motel and that kind of stuff. Free TV, you know, that kind of stuff. Magic Fingers, free TV, pool, you know. You remember all the old ones along the two-lane roads? And they were taking all of those, plus a lot of what I would call the old fish camps and hunting lodges, and they were redoing them, and they're putting people into them. And so in all these motels, I had somebody go up and look up there around the lakes. They were seeing all these motels being renovated back then. Well, they've been renovated. Now you go there, and you see people who don't speak. They don't speak perfect Russian because they speak better English than they do Russian, because they speak without an accent. They speak Western Kansas, Nebraska kind of accent, which is no accent at all. So they're here. But I'm going to tell you what, you got Jesus on your side, and you've got the history of this country, and you got red-blooded American blood in you. And I think about John Paul Jones, you know. I think about old John Paul Jones. And the British call over, "Are you ready to surrender?" And his ship is on fire, and he's about ready to go, but he's still got a few cannon. And he said, "I've just begun to fight." And he took it to the British and made them surrender and put them deep into Davy Jones's locker. You know, or you might even, you recall the airborne general in Bastogne, you know, 101st, and he He says, the Germans ask him to surrender. You're surrounded. We have all these thousands of men around you in armor and everything. And he told him nuts. Told him to go fish. Told him nuts. Screw you. You know, get out of here. And oh, there's 1,000 battles that Americans have fought in, and so many of them that are not even known. Like one or two Marines. Hot handing a dadgum barrel on a machine gun that's melting down and going woogie woggy in their hand. They got a piece of asbestos or a canvas glove or something they're holding on to it with, and the banzai charge is coming at them, or the pillbox over there, and you got two or three Marines with M1 Garands and a 30 cal firing it from the dadgum hip, taking it to them. Or the Frozen Chosen, or Pork Chop Hill, or My Lord D-Day, can you believe that? Or the old battlefield in Antietam, at the bridge. Oh, that's the most decorated and blood-filled day in American history, in the Civil War. And I remember people that went up Hamburger Hill, as well as one of my dad's buddies or one of my buddy's friends, a dad, who was at Pork Chop Hill in Korea, and all the places in Vietnam, which are unknown because they're so deep in the jungle, and you didn't even know which country you were in. Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, the Shan States, Vietnam, South Vietnam, wherever it was. And a whole lot of good people stood their ground against overwhelming odds, and they walked out victory. And they left a lot of good people there, but I'm going to tell you what. Who said it? Thomas Jefferson said it, I believe. That the Liberty Tree must be watered with the blood of tyrants and patriots from time to time. And I'm not talking about President Trump necessarily going to do any of this kind of thing. I'm talking about if he was to lose, or if they're to operate on the JFK or the RFK model, or if Soros's voting machines combine with all of the illegal immigration that's gone on, and this whole socialist, communist, demon, commie rat revolution coming up that can be assisted with strikes and with EMPs that might happen and all kind of stuff like that. Well, let me tell you what. This was the first law of the land, but went a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. So, you see, that right there, and if they're going to come and they're going to get rid of the rest of the Bill of Rights, all under the guise of preserving the Constitution, and they want to do a coup d'etat. So, yeah, going back to this massive amount of U.N. troops in the heartland, anybody in there and around Indiana, and you know the base I'm talking about, I can't think of it right now. It's the training base. It's not that far from Indianapolis, but it's out about 20, 30, 40 miles. And then up at Port Drum, New York. And let's say also we had the paratroopers at Port Shelby and, you know, in Mississippi. But I got something to say about that real quick. I got time yet. Yeah, I do. But anybody around those bases, or around places like 29 Palms, around places like Fort Hood, Bragg, something like that, where they might be training other people, or even Fort Knox in Kentucky for an armored situation, maybe. Take a look around and see if you're seeing any extra trains or if you're seeing more personnel. The way you're going to do it, you could go out, if they arrive today, you could go out maybe on Friday night and see them in the beer joints, the choke and pukes, the A&W root beer stands, you know what I mean. Sometimes I think about people when I'm just sitting here going down the list, and I think about good people in the military. And I think about wonderful warrant officers that I met one night late in Clarksville, Tennessee, at a joint where they had a band and that kind of stuff. I remember that. Young, tough warrant officers. I think they might have been night stalkers, you know? One 60th, Special Operations, SOAR, you know? Somebody. And I think about all kind of different people. And I think about the Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant, an African-American. He and I sat there in the Hilton bar, and we talked about all the stuff after his scary cat Caucasian officer about dropped his pants and had to go upstairs to the restroom. But I'm going to tell you what, stand for Lord Jesus, stand for the Bill of Rights, stand for the Declaration of Independence. Get prepared, and your first preparation is with Lord Jesus. Don't go in and they're loose, a fairy, a commie, demon, rat, night without a fight. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology. Some of you are back on this planet from the paradise planets, the exoplanets. You're here, use your stuff to strike the blows. Find out where that source was that was trying to hit and shoot energy all the way through, like Fort Bliss, and then on into Southeast Missouri to the New Madrid. Fandango Ranger, I know you're ready. Look for Lieutenant Tanner and old Mickey. Mickey Lapua, buddy. You're on the optics. But General McCormick has got a little something to say to you. But I'll tell you, Mickey, that's true.